Yeah. Yeah. Tell me that you're ready for the fantasy, fantasy, fantasy football, friends. Tell me that you're ready for the fantasy, fantasy, fantasy football, friends. Get up your bands. Pick up your wins. We out there league, get in the game and out of the stands. Tell me that you're ready for the fantasy, fantasy, fantasy football, friends. Tell me that you're ready for the fantasy, fantasy, fantasy football, friends. Get up your bands, pick up your wins. We out there league, get in the game and out of the stands.
Everybody, welcome to another episode of the Fantasy Football Friends podcast. As always, I am your host, Cameron McCoy, and I'm joined today again by Will Twyford. Will, how are you doing today?
Pretty good. What's up, friends?
Yeah, the friends are out there. They're listening. They're tuning in. We actually, based on the site that hosts our thing, we cracked 200 downloads. So, hey, congratulations to us.
Woo!
Woohoo!
Yeah. It might not seem like a whole lot, but I mean, it's a step, you know, it's a milestone in the right direction kind of thing, right? So, yeah, hey, thanks for tuning in, guys. We appreciate it. If you ever want to contact us, you can hit us up at theffbfriends@gmail.com or at @ffbfriends on Twitter. If you have any questions you'd like us to discuss on the show, you'd be happy to incorporate them and, you know, give our opinions on whatever you're looking at. It'll be especially more interesting once we get into the season and you can ask us, like, trade questions, start sit, you know, waiver wire, stuff like that when we get into that, the regimen of what we're actually doing throughout the regular season. So, yeah, if you want to get at us, you can hit us up there. And without that, without further ado, we're going to go ahead and jump into the first half kickoff question. Will, where's your favorite sandwich place?
My favorite sandwich place, this is like subs included, I can do that too.
Yeah.
Okay. Honestly, I'm going to have to go with Jersey Mike's subs.
Really?
Yeah, they're definitely a little bit expensive for what they're worth. But the taste and like texture of the sandwich is second to none to me. It's pretty good, I would say. Yeah, definitely a little expensive, but if you're willing to spend that extra little penny, you might as well just go to Jersey Mike's.
I've eaten from Jersey Mike's before, but I don't think I've ever actually been in it. They cook their meat on a flat top. Do they cook it to order? Do you know?
I think they do, yeah.
Oh, okay. That's pretty cool. Yeah, that's nice. It's like chopped up stuff, and they cook it on a flat top. I mean, I've seen the commercials, so it's just, as long as they're cooking it to order, then that's pretty good quality kind of stuff.
Yeah.
I think if I had to pick a spot, it would probably be, and they're not really around everywhere anymore, but Quiznos. You ever been to Quiznos?
No way. I've never been, but I've seen the commercials like 1,000 times when I was like,
yeah, they had those, they had
14
the weirdest commercials back in the day. Those weird little gerbil looking things with like the pasted on eyes and mouth.
Yeah.
Yeah. They had some creepy, weird commercials.
Yeah.
Quiznos is so good, though.
They were, like, rivals of, like, Subway, right? Like, they were, like, the big other sub place.
Well,
the commercials, at least.
Yeah, I mean, they were all over TV, for sure. I don't know if I would, I mean, maybe they were competitive with Subway like that, I guess. But, I don't know. There's something about the bread, the, like, French bread that they cut in half, then they load it up on both sides and put it through the conveyor belt toaster oven. Man, those were some good sandwiches. I wish that there were more of those around. I actually looked it up, and the closest one to us is in, like, Jacksonville, if it's still open, apparently.
Do you know what happened? They just, I'm
assuming they just kind of went, you know.
They got the swine flu.
Yeah, yeah, they had to just start shutting down shops. They just probably weren't making enough money. I mean, you have to understand, there's a ridiculous amount of sandwich places. I mean, and when you mention, like, Would I count sub places like Subway and stuff like that?
Mm-hmm.
I was about to say, well, where do you get a sandwich that's not a sub?
Technically, like a burger to me is a sandwich, or a chicken sandwich from Chick-fil-A, maybe?
I mean, the only place I can think of really is like Jason's Deli. They have non-sub sandwiches. It's a pretty good spot, too.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, no. I mean, It is kind of sad because the market for like sub sandwiches, I feel like, is on the decline. Plus, like places like Publix,
taking over too. I mean, it's hard not to like the Publix subs. Plus, it's kind of an unfair advantage because you can go there and get the boar's head meat. You get the boar's head meat, and that's already like a quality above your average place. I mean, but most of our listeners are in Tallahassee, so they'll know Publix. But if we get, you know, more widespread, there's a lot of places that don't have Publix. So y'all are missing out on those chicken finger Publix subs, man. Oh, they just dice up their chicken tenders and throw them on some bread.
It's very good. I don't know if it's original, but it's good.
Yeah, I'm sure that's not an original thought by them. But yeah, it's super, super good. So cool. So you're saying Jersey Mike's. Mm-hmm. I guess I should throw out a second one just because they're not all over the place anymore. But I don't know, man. Sandwich places.
You can throw out number two. I'll throw out number two.
I like, I actually do like Subway. It's cheap. You know what you're going to get.
Relatively good price.
Have you been there recently, though?
Probably like a year ago.
Okay, so not recently. They keep changing things. Like, you don't get double meat now. You get, like, premium meat or something like that. Like, deluxe. They call it something weird now. And, like, all the meat is super thin cut.
Oh, no.
Yeah, it's because, like, you know, their turkey used to be, like,
semi-thick,
you know, decent thickness. And now it's, like, it's almost shredded. It's super thin. So,
holy crap.
Yeah, they definitely downgraded their meat. It's still, you know, tastes fine.
Hey,
but
you can't cut the food costs if you don't start raising the prices putting less in there.
Right. And I think the big thing for them, though, is like their bread. I like that Italian urban cheese.
So. Oh, I should get the white.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I love that Italian urban cheese. Bread's a big thing for me for sandwich places. Like when I go to Publix, I get the whole grain, not whole grain. It's like Italian 9-grain, I think is what they call it, something like that. So it's like the bread's a big thing. So anyway, yeah. So Subway was gonna be your second one too.
Yeah, definitely Subway.
Yeah. How do you feel like Subway compared to like Jimmy John's? You ever eat at Jimmy John's? Because I feel like I don't know if that
is. I feel like Jimmy John's is kind of like a ripoff. Like, it's not... Yeah. You're probably getting around the same quality as Subway, but, like, a little bit more expensive.
I know their sandwiches are also, like, 8 inches, which is kind of weird. Like, that's, like, a weird...
Weird
range. Size. It's, like, it's usually either 6-inch or 12. Like, a foot-long kind of thing. So, it's, like... Yeah, that's a weird spot to be in right there at 8.
I guess they're freaky fast, though, so...
yeah, I mean, that's true. I've never walked into a Jimmy John's and had it take longer than, like, 4 minutes. Yeah. It takes longer to order than it does to, like, for them, because the person standing there is usually making it while you're ordering anyway, so it's like, as soon as you pay, they're like, here you go. So, that is nice, I guess.
That's their marketing scheme right there.
Yeah, that's all it is. I heard that, and not to get too far off on a weird tangent about this, but I've had some people that have worked for Jimmy John's, and, like, as a driver, you can get in trouble if they don't see you, like, running to your car.
Oh.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, yeah. Like, and then they like, roll up and they don't turn their car off if they know that they have to, like, you just run in, you grab the sandwiches, and you run back out. Like, yeah. I mean, I guess they're serious about it.
I wonder what the punishment is.
I mean, I'm sure it's something, like, they do at most places where, like, they'll cut your hours and stuff. And, you know, that kind of thing. So, well, anyway, that's plenty of talk about sandwiches.
Yeah.
This is not a sandwich podcast as much as, you know.
I wish it was. No.
I don't know. How many episodes do you think you could do on sandwiches?
I mean, Guy Fieri, you know, he made a living off that, maybe.
But he went to different places. I mean, he went to drive-ins, diners, and dives. Like, it's not just sandwich places. I mean, you know. I don't think isn't a drive-in like a movie theater?
Like Sonic, maybe.
Oh, yeah. Okay, that's a fair one. It's just like being at a drive-in movie theater where you have, like, the call box next to you and stuff.
Except you gotta watch your phone.
Yeah. I don't know. Anyway, second half kickoff question. So, it's always related to what we're going to be discussing today. This is going to be a AFC East breakdown. So, we're going to throw this out there. Which team do you think is going to end up at the bottom of this heap?
Yeah, I mean, looking at, like, the free agent signings and the draft class, I'm still going to say the Jets.
Solely
based off their defense, like, it did not look like it's gotten a lot better since the last year to me. I mean, if they get drafted, obviously, They drafted Sauce Gardner, but like other than that, like it's not.
Yeah, like one player is not going to turn the whole thing around. So
it's just DJ Mosley and Quinnen Williams. Other than that, not a lot's going on there.
Yeah, I mean that's a pretty easy one to go with, just because they arguably. I'm not exactly sure how I'm trying to say this, but they have the worst defense, right? That's easy. Yeah. They have like the worst defense, not even just in the division, but I mean, what team out there
has a worse defense
than they do right now?
Maybe the Texans. So I don't know.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, we talked about them a little bit last episode that you were on. The Lions.
The Lions, yeah.
Lions are probably not great. Falcons. Oof. Falcons probably not good.
Yeah, no.
But the Jets, I would still say, they're probably...
They're top. They're bottom five.
Yeah. Yeah, bottom five-ish. Yeah. So, I mean, that's a very logical answer than going with the Jets there. I mean, I just feel like if things don't go perfectly right for them, I feel like there is some way that the Patriots could be down... lower than people think.
That's reasonable,
though. I mean, there's just...
I see where you're coming from.
I don't... Their weapons aren't that great. I don't know. Devontae Parker is their wide receiver one. I mean...
Yeah, kind
of. You know.
A little bit.
I don't know. I just don't feel like their weapons are that good. I mean, they'll find ways to win, obviously. I just think... Okay, so how about instead of looking at it from a win-loss real-world perspective, it's fantasy output.
Okay.
Which team do you think is going to have the worst fantasy output?
Oh, definitely the Patriots.
Okay, so
the worst
yeah,
fantasy output, like, every year.
Right. So okay. So I mean, obviously, I would argue that the Dolphins and the Bills are going to be fighting for that top position for how many. If you totaled up all of their players' points at the end of the year, they'd be gunning for the top spot between the two of them, which leaves the Jets and the Patriots to fight for the bottom spot, and. I don't know. They're just the Patriots are such a conservative kind of offense. I mean, well, Mac Jones would have to take a pretty good step up, as would the weapons around him. I mean, I don't want to get too much into it because that's what we're going to be discussing on the main portion of the episode. But as far as fantasy output, I could see them being the Patriots being somewhat at the bottom. I don't know. It's tough. It's still tough. It's got. I mean, it's. Probably still the Jets, though. I mean, that's just an unfortunate organization. I mean, they haven't even been... I don't know. When was the last time the Jets were any good?
Joe Namath?
Well, I mean, yeah, but...
No, more recently, Sanchez, probably. Rex Ryan was the coach.
Butt fumble
guy, yeah. I'd say Mark Sanchez. They're in the playoffs.
Yeah. So. Didn't they get into the playoffs with... Fitzmagic? Did they not make the playoffs with Fitzmagic? When it was,
There's no way.
Oh, man.
Oh, you're talking about Brandon Marshall and
Fitzmagic? Brandon Marshall, Fitzmagic, and then they had another guy that was there with them at the same time. It was their wide receiver, too, but like...
Plaxico Burress,
No. Gosh, I can't think of his name, but it's like Gino or something. I don't... Man, I can't remember. But yeah, I mean, I think they were decent back then. I remember picking up, I think I had Brandon Marshall the first year that I played fantasy football, and he did okay. And then I think the second year I ended up picking up the number two, and he had some good games too. So I don't know. They've been a dumpster fire for quite a while.
10 years.
Yeah, basically. But it is nice to see that like the Patriots are no longer just kind of manhandling, you know, on paper at least they're not going to manhandle the whole division. Which it's been, what, 20 years or something like that?
Yeah, I mean, as long as Tom Brady's playing, pretty much.
Dominating everything there. So, I mean, that's what makes this division fun to talk about, which we'll get into after we go over a little news and notes. But, you know, there are some interesting things that could come out. I mean, when we were discussing which division to break down, it was kind of like, yeah, the teams are kind of sad, but there's some interesting stuff to discuss.
That's what makes it fun, though.
Yeah. talking about those sad, sad teams. I mean, it'll certainly make it easy to get through some of them. But anyway, so that was the first and second half kickoff question. We're going to get into just a little bit of news and notes out there. I think the main story is going to be that the Seahawks... Apparently, their front office is discussing trying to bring in Jimmy Garoppolo. So, which Makes sense, right?
I mean, yeah, do you really? I don't think that's a bad move. I don't know. I wouldn't give up on Drew Lock this quick. But
I mean, how long has Drew Lock been in the year or in the league? 3 years?
I'd say three years.
3 years, and he started.
One.
He started like one and a half, two years. I mean, total.
Yeah.
I mean, because he's been the starter and then getting benched and then starter again. Like, wasn't he still in Denver with
Teddy?
No, even before that, dude that looks like a pirate. Because there was a year where they like cycled through three different QBs the entire time.
Oh, I know you're talking about.
Paxton Lynch.
Oh God. Yeah.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking of.
Brock Osweiler.
Yeah. Brock Osweiler wasn't so bad for the Texans for a couple games. I mean, It's not amazing, but anyway. So they were rumored to be one of the teams that that they were looking at for Baker Mayfield, and obviously he's going to
the Panthers,
now. So the only other major free agent ish. I mean, he's not really a free agent right now, right? He's still in the contract.
Yeah. So is it for sure that Garoppolo is not starting? That's why I'm so confused. Like, I don't know.
Another thing. I mean, that's just kind of been like the assumption based on draft capital and stuff that they put into bringing Trey Lance on. But
not a big Trey Lance fan. But
I mean, it's funny that you say that because I just saw something earlier today. I think it was a slightly older story, but I just saw something earlier today that was saying the 49ers have come out and said that the rumors that Trey Lance's arm is already fatiguing are false. So it's like he's already got rumors that his arm's not great.
Nice.
So that's a little rough there, buddy. 49er source denies rumor of Lance's arm fatigue. So, I mean, I don't know. Just based on the draft capital, everybody's just assuming that he's going to be the starter. So it's hard to say that he won't. Mm-hmm. But and then the other part of it is that Jimmy G is coming off of that injury.
Yeah.
Which he's, from what I've seen, he's on a timeline to be ready for the season and stuff. So, I mean, it's not like it's crazy that he wouldn't be ready. So, yeah, I don't know. I think that if there are this many questions about Trey Lance's ability already, that they should just give him another year. I mean, they did well with Garoppolo last year. I mean, unless they've seen something that we haven't, I don't know why.
I mean, who knows? Maybe Trey Lance is the next Lamar. Maybe Garoppolo is the Joe Flacco in this situation.
He did okay. They won one game and lost one that he started, right? I believe.
Yeah, but I wouldn't say like Trey Lance is really comparable to like a Heisman Trophy winner.
So. Yeah. Well.
And DSU is like what, D2? Yeah.
I don't know. It'll be interesting to see if Garoppolo stays. I think that's good for fantasy for the whole team. If Trey Lance stays and starts, I think that's good for him. Like, he'll be a good fantasy option. I don't know the people around him will be nearly as good as what they would be with Garoppolo. So
maybe Debo. Maybe they get a little read option going. Who knows?
Yeah. Well, I mean, Debo did okay with Trey Lance last year, so in the spot starts that he had. But I think it would benefit fantasy overall more if Garoppolo went to the Seahawks, because otherwise, like, I'm not really interested in taking either DK or Lockett.
No.
Or Locke. So that's three starters that, you know, if given the right position, would be much better. Well, two of them would, but I don't know. I'm not a Locke believer. Every time we talk about him, you kind of seem like you're in.
I'm a little bit of a Locke believer, yeah. I want him to get, like, one last little hoorah.
One last little. That makes it sound like he's been playing for a long time and like he's earned a last hurrah, but I don't know if you'd even.
He hasn't really earned it, but he somewhat deserves it.
I mean, it's just sad to think about the fact that they were saying that, you know, Geno was like ahead. I mean, it makes sense in that Geno's been there. He knows the playbook more. And I think even Pete Carroll came out and said, well, there's going to be a real competition once Drew Lock gets a chance to learn the playbook a little bit better. But Anyway, I think that it would be best for fantasy if Garoppolo went to the Seahawks. Plus, I'm always for trades and changing things up. So
that makes sense.
That would be fun. There's not really any other major news or notes out there as far as I can see from the last couple of days. So we can go ahead and hop right on into the meat and potatoes of the episode. Our AFC East breakdown. All right. Which team do you want to start with first?
You want to like start and say like the placement of each team? Who do you think will finish last?
Yeah, so you want to start at the bottom or go from the top?
We can start at the bottom.
So the Jets.
Love that, yeah.
Yeah. All right. Well, so the Jets. What can we say about the Jets that...
Zach Wilson, second year, you know. I mean, what do you think about him? Do you think he's going to show out or just dud?
I think it's a little sad that the team as a whole did better when he wasn't there last year.
Yeah, I know. That was super sad. It was the Michael Carter show.
Yeah, well, it was because, I mean, I can't remember the backup's name.
Mike White.
Yeah, Mike White, hyper-targeted him. So, of course, mm-hmm. Michael Carter did great. But even outside of that, like, I don't know. Zach Wilson has interesting tools, I suppose, like as far as like as a player goes. You know, I think he's good on his feet. He's got a decent arm. His accuracy is not terrible. So, I mean, yeah, I think he can take a step forward, but to what extent that is, I don't know. I have him pretty low in my QB ranking or projections. So yeah,
that makes sense. They signed like a couple of new people. Obviously, they drafted Garrett Wilson, and they got CJ. They signed CJ Uzomah from the Bengals.
Yeah, from the Bengals, the tight end.
So, and obviously they drafted Breece Hall too.
Yeah.
So he has some more weapons this year, but I don't know. I think a lot of it plays down or comes down to the offensive line as well, and that defense can't be playing from behind the whole time. So
yeah. So it looks like PFF has them at number 11. So that's pretty good. That's actually kind of surprising. I guess they're up one from where they were last year. So they got George Fant, Aliyah Vera Tucker, Connor McGovern, Greg Van Rotten, and Morgan Moses. Moses is the only one on there that like I recognize. Oh, George Fant, I know his name too. And then Connor McGovern. I think the big part of why they're ranked so highly is because they're center and both of their tackles are pretty stout. So I mean, as long as they can make something happen on those guards, that's not too bad.
Mm-hmm.
So you hope that he has the time to make decisions. The problem for me is, where is he going with the ball? Elijah Moore left a lot to be desired last year. Braxton Berrios actually played decent, you know, in spot starts and stuff. And then Corey Davis was just like
injured,
yeah. Dead all season. Yeah,
he was dead.
And then they drafted Garrett Wilson this year. So
I think Elijah Moore was a rookie last year.
Yeah, Elijah Moore was a rookie last year.
He wasn't bad, I wouldn't say, but nothing.
I mean, he just wasn't anything special, is what I'm saying. Yeah. So
the big question mark for me is like, that running back room is like not bad. Like Carter was good last year, and then when Carter was hurt, Ty Johnson was good last year too.
Yeah, and they still have a veteran, Tevin Coleman, there.
Yeah.
And then we'll see how Breece Hall is. I'm not super excited about Breece Hall.
I hated that pick, yeah.
I feel like they could have ridden with
Carter,
but I mean, I don't know who they would have taken in the first round. Yeah, I'm sure they had options at receivers. Without like diving into that, it'd be hard for me to throw out somebody that I think would have been a better fit. But
yeah.
I mean, overall, it's not terrible. I feel like this is kind of a discount offense.
No.
And we already discussed kind of their defense not going to be that great. So, you know, you have to just kind of assume that they're going to be throwing a lot. Which is, again, you know, that could lead to more more fantasy points. So, you know, at least there's that. CJ Uzama. It's crazy that they, like, just keep bringing in tight ends. Like, I feel like they brought in, like, three last year. This year they brought in Uzama and Conklin. Like, they are trying so hard to piece together a tight end position. Yeah. And then the year before that, I can't remember what was the name of the guy that they brought in who was already injured. It was like a – maybe they drafted him. But he was like a big name that like they were super excited about. But he like never got to play because he was like constantly injured.
Oh, God.
I can't remember his name. But it doesn't really matter because he didn't end up doing anything while he was there. So – So CJ Uzama, I like that pickup. I like the Tyler Conklin pickup. I think they're going to have a decent tight end group. We'll see about Corey Davis. I mean, Denzel Mims wasn't bad when he played.
No, he wasn't. Braxton Berrios, obviously not that bad either.
Yeah, Braxton Berrios. He was like a surprise, like waiver wire pickup. I think middle to later part of the year where he just... He had a couple games. The question is though, was it with Mike White or was it with?
I think it was with Mike White.
I think it was with Mike White. Yeah, because there was like a game where he like threw three touchdowns or something. I think, and they put they added him to like the College Football Hall of Fame or something. Like he had a spot on there.
He like some dude. I remember the thing with Mike White was some dude gambled that like Mike White was going to be like the leading passer or something
and for that week.
And he probably won
like some ridiculous amount of money. Like,
insane amount of money.
Yeah, that sounds about right. You put $10 down on a bet like that and make $1,000. That's
claim to fame right there.
Yeah, right. Yeah. But I think they added him to like, or they put like a small thing for him in the CFH.
Oh.
Like he went and made a comment about it and he was like, yeah, I'm kind of sad because I know that this isn't going to stay up for very long. Like, I don't think he was expecting to do too much after that because I think he knows he's just a backup. But he did well. He targeted the running back a lot. The thing, though, is that if they run with Breece Hall as their starting RB, he's not really a pass catcher anyway.
No.
Which I guess maybe that's why they went after him, because they're like, well, Zach Wilson's not going to throw to the running back. Yeah. So, I mean... What do we need a running back that can catch passes? You know,
also drafted Jermaine Johnson. Yeah, that's right, the Florida State guy, obviously.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I don't know. This team is just an unfortunate. It's just all unfortunate there. Do you have anything else to really dive into for them?
Yeah. Hopefully the rookies on defense can come through, but that doesn't sound too promising.
Yeah, they're gonna have to boat race people. I feel like, and just hope that they can put up more points, and I don't think that they're going to be able to do that, so.
No, another rebuilding year, for sure.
Yeah, yeah, but it's just, every year's a rebuilding year for the poor Jets.
They're moving in the right direction, I'd say.
Yeah, I guess that's true. The problem is like, you it's the same thing with when you're playing Dynasty Fantasy Football, where you can try and keep telling yourself that you're competing, or that you're rebuilding, but if you don't go in and sell off your best pieces to bring in more young talent and get more draft capital, eventually all of those pieces that you've brought in this year are going to age out, and they're never going to have a chance to actually show anything off, you know, if that makes sense.
No, it definitely makes sense. Either you do that, or you're like the Dolphins, you just spend a bag, just drop a ding, bag.
So I think that's about it for those there Jets. And let's move into the Patriots, the other team that I was, you know, fantasy-wise, probably going to be down near the bottom. Got Mac Jones going into his second year.
Yep.
You got Damien Harris, Ramondre Stevenson behind him. I think that's a decent duo right there. They brought in Devontae Parker. Surprisingly, Nelson Agholor is still on there. Depth chart. I was kind of shocked to see that.
Yeah, they brought in Ty Montgomery too. Watch out.
Actually, I think they brought him in from the Jets.
Yeah.
They brought him in. It's very interesting. The Patriots have like picked pieces off of
salvage.
Yeah, other teams in their own division, because Devontae Parker was on the Dolphins.
For so long.
And you know, had some bright spots for a little bit, but I mean, could you imagine if he was on the Dolphins now?
So,
that would be an intense
God squad right there.
Yeah, yeah, that'd probably be like the best wide receiving group in the league right there. I mean,
oh yeah, The Bucks? No.
If everybody's healthy, I mean, you could probably argue they'd be up there. But I'd rather have Devontae Parker over who'd they bring in?
The guy from Atlanta.
Yeah. Greg. No.
Greg Jennings. No.
No. Man, I don't know why I can't think of this guy's name. Anyway, it doesn't really matter. But I think Devontae Parker's going to... Russell Gage. That's where the G that I was looking at comes in. I think Devontae Parker over just about any third wide receiver is going to be an amazing upgrade. So I don't know about a number one, though. But with as conservative as I expect them to be, I don't think it matters that much. I mean, he's just going to be expected to catch a couple passes a game. He's not going to be a person that I'm targeting in any kind of fantasy football
drafts or anything. Target Jacoby Myers in this situation.
Yeah, just because... I think he's going to go way later.
Oh, yeah. No, he's like your last pick.
Yeah. Yeah, you could probably get him pretty late.
In your fantasy football draft, like a redraft league.
Yeah, and if you're in Dynasty, you could would probably just throw him into a trade if you asked for it. Just like sweeten the pot kind of thing.
And he's like, what, his second year?
I want to say this is his third year. We're going into, I don't think he was a rookie last year, was he? Let's see.
He's 25. It's his third season this
year.
Yeah,
that's what I thought. All right, yeah. Yeah, I mean, like, I like Jacoby Myers a little bit. I thought that he was slowly building a decent rapport with Mac Jones, so, you know, we'll see. We'll see what if they can pick up where they left off there. He might be the real one to target on the team, actually, overall, as far as the pass catchers, outside of Hunter Henry.
Juno Smith right there. He was a stud in Tennessee to me.
Yeah, he just didn't do a whole lot last year, and I think Hunter Henry caught, like, 7 touchdowns last year. So, I mean...
It's kind of hard, though, when you got Hunter Henry. Like, you're sharing time with Hunter Henry. Like,
well, I think Hunter Henry got injured at some point, and Jonnu Smith started injured, and so they kind of like flip-flopped throughout the year.
Who could be less injured?
Yeah, basically. But like, yeah, Hunter Henry did really well, and I do think that I agree with what you're saying. I think Jonnu Smith is a talented tight end, which it just makes the Patriots a boring team because they're going to run a lot of two tight end sets. They're not going to have a full complement of wide receivers out there most plays. So I think that they're going to end up being a run team. But unfortunately, they run by committee so much that you can't even trust having one of their running backs.
I know.
I mean, I like Ramondre Stevenson overall. He had, I think, at least one, maybe two games last year where he popped off for some decent points. But Damian Harris is the guy. For sure. And he's a talented runner. I like Damian Harris a lot. So
yeah. No, he did really good against the Jets that one game I was watching. I don't know. He probably had like 30 points or something crazy.
Yeah. His time in for the Patriots when he's healthy, the man can pop off for a couple touchdowns in a game. You know, he's good for at least one or two games a year, I think, where he has the potential to get 2 touchdowns. And you're like, well, that's a weak winning kind of performance. There was also the game... the snow game that they played this year, I want to say against the Bills, and they basically, like, each team only ran like 20 pass plays or something less than that. Like, they couldn't pass at all. Yeah.
No, Mac Jones threw 3 passes.
3 passes, right. So they ran the ball the entire time, and he did pretty good. So, I mean, you know.
Oh, yeah, I know. I feel like their line's solid.
What do they rank? Are you looking at PFF right now?
Yeah, I'm looking at PFF. PFF has them, but like just looking at their starting lineup, like these guys are pretty renowned guys that stand out. They're
ninth.
Yeah, they're not bad.
Yeah, ninth. I mean, it's pretty impressive that so far the two teams that we've talked about in this division are in the top 15. So they're I mean almost in the top 10. Really, so they're in the top third of the league, basically. So, yeah, you know, Shaq Mason's great. David Andrews, also a real good center. Trent Brown, I mean, yeah, they've got a really good offensive line. So that should be good for Mac Jones, but I think what it's really going to come down to is it's going to be good for the running backs. I mean, at the end of the day, I think that that's...
Yeah, not a pass for soon.
No, and so you're going to end up with a situation where, I mean, yeah, you can take Jacoby Myers, tail end of your draft. He'll probably still be there. I wouldn't go after Devontae Parker Let's look up what is Devontae Parker's ADP?
Lower than Myers, I think.
You think so? Parker ADP. Mm-hmm. I mean, I'd be a little bit surprised if that was the case. I wouldn't, although I also wouldn't be surprised if he just like straight up wasn't being drafted. He is the consensus 59 wide receiver in standard, 58 in PPR. He is the pick number 145. So he's going somewhere in the 14th-ish round, depending on how many teams are in your league. So, I mean, that's, I mean, you know, he's being drafted, but again, that's your last pick kind of thing. Jacoby Myers. Let's see, where's old Myers going? Jacoby Myers.
It's like 120, I
think. Overall 137. But half PPR, he's going 175, which is not drafted. Okay. So Parker is kind of going ahead of him, but not by a whole lot. So I feel like, you know, you won't even really necessarily have to draft him. You can probably scoop him off of waivers. But I would draft him, hold him for week one. They play the Dolphins and see what happens. You know, it'd be better to have him before that game than try to scoop him off the waivers after it if he has a good game, if he pops off. That's actually, I didn't even think about that. That's pretty interesting that Devontae Parker gets to go up against his old team.
Twice?
Week one. Well, yeah, twice, but week one. As well, yeah. I'm going to be at that game, so that'll be fun to see.
Hey.
Yeah, it'll be fun to see how that goes.
Who's your pick?
I want the Dolphins to win. Like, I want them to win, but I just think that the Patriots are going to ground and pound and lean on their defense, and there's not going to be a whole lot going on for them, so I think the Pats win.
But I feel like the strong suit the Patriots team is up with their defense too.
Yeah,
with they got Jalen Mills, they got Devin McCourty that they just signed again. They signed Malcolm Butler again.
Yeah, they lost
Jackson.
Yeah,
to the Chargers.
Right,
JC so, Jackson.
Yeah, Jack Rabbit. That's what they call him. Jack Rabbit.
Really? They call him Jack Rabbit?
I'm pretty sure. I feel like I was a Florida guy. I feel like I heard that on a broadcast. I don't know. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe I'm mixing it up with somebody else.
It was that one dude who they found like dead people in his basement. It was a Jack Rabbit.
Janoris
Jenkins.
Oh, what?
Yeah.
I've never heard. I have not. I did not hear that. When did that happen?
When he was playing on the Giants, he like found like someone dead in his basement or something, and then he was like, I don't know how that got there, and then he was like, yeah, we don't think you killed him, and then he was innocent.
Oh yeah,
Janoris Jenkins, nicknamed Jack Rabbit, is if you look him up on the internet, look up
dead person,
dead. Just look up dead, and I'll be like, brother of Janoris Jenkins charged after dead body found. Yeah, a family friend was in his basement or something.
Let's see. Yeah, I guess JC Jackson's nickname is Mr. INT.
Yeah.
Okay. Maybe that's who I heard them. I feel like I heard that last year though, like on a broadcast last year. I don't know. It doesn't matter.
About the famous football friends.
Yeah.
You got it right.
Sure. Yeah. Anyway, do you have anything else really?
Not really. I feel like they're gonna lean on their defense. I mean, they
lean on the defense and run.
Stout defense right there.
Yeah. I'm still, like I said, I'm also just still surprised that Nelson Agholor is still like hanging on. Poor guy. I mean, as a Philly fan, I can't hate on him, but.
Yeah, you ever saw the Nelson Agholor meme where it was like...
Oh, yeah, the kid, yeah, but now the dude caught the baby. Yeah. And he's like, I got him, unlike Nelson Agholor.
Yeah, I got better hands than Nelson Agholor. Look at this. Yeah. I can play for the Eagles.
Yeah, that was
really good.
Yeah, that was pretty rough. I saw there was he got mentioned in something else recently.
Like a meme?
There was a fire in Philly again.
Oh, no.
And they, like, recorded something, and somebody made a comment about Nelson Agholor again, and I think he commented back, like, bro.
Bro, we're keep still, my name out of your mouth.
We're still fires. It's like we're still doing this. Like that guy's gotta be like, dude, come on now. Can't y'all just leave me alone? I know. I
it's so good.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, again, as an Eagles fan, he showed out sometimes. He had a pretty good season when we went to the Super Bowl. So I mean, you know.
Yeah.
But yeah, some players just kind of they peak and then they don't pan out.
They just.
Yeah, it was a roller coaster ride, and now I think it's pulling into the station for that last time kind of thing. All right, well, so that's our Patriots breakdown. Dolphins.
Two fun teams left.
Yeah, save the best for last. Literally saving the best in the division for last. But the Dolphins, I mean, this is a fun team this year. I think it's going to be great for fantasy.
You think they make the playoffs? I want to say yes.
But I think that they could sneak their way into the playoffs.
A wild card.
Yeah, obviously. Yeah, for sure. Like, I don't see why not. I mean, they have so many weapons. Just an abundance of weapons.
The defense isn't bad at all either. So it's just like, can Tua...
Yeah, it's really... It's
what can he do? You know what I mean?
It's Tua.
But they also got Teddy Bridgewater as a backup, so you better watch out.
Yeah. Yeah, right. they have... The worst ranked offensive line, according to PFF, though. So, that's going to be tough. Yep. So, I'm looking at number 32.
Oh, for me, it says the Seattle Seahawks.
Really? Are you on? You're on there, the PFF? I'm looking at the... Oh, that's why. I'm looking at 21.
Yeah.
All right. I don't know why. Why would it pull up... Okay, so where are they on yours while I pull up the...
They are... I think they're top 20, but...
Let's see. We're looking into it.
Just throwing it out there.
Yeah.
They're not top 20. They are 23.
Okay, so...
Not good. Bottom half.
Bottom half, but, you know, not bottom third.
Oh, 32.
that's a big jump from 32, which I mean really showed last year. So
yeah, no, I get that. I mean, I think it's their year, you know. It's their make or break year.
Oh well, it's definitely
like the Rams year.
It's definitely Tua's make or break year. I mean, they gave him you're telling me you give a man all these weapons, and if he can't do it, you're sticking by him?
No.
Yeah. If they have a losing season, he's gone, right?
Yeah, for sure. They're trading for somebody. They're not drafting new QB. They're definitely trading like for a Matthew Stafford-esque QB, and they want to win now. They're like the Rams of last year. I
mean, yeah. They
it's go time.
Yeah, I mean it kind of has to be with again. I just can't go. I can't understate it enough. The weakest of their skill player positions, Cedric Wilson, and even he's not that bad.
He was good on the Cowboys.
He was good on the Cowboys. Yeah, he definitely had some spot starts, especially filling in for Michael Gallup. Like, mm-hmm. I mean, he didn't do bad. But Tyreek Hill and Jalen Waddle, I mean,
good God,
you're gonna have such a hard time covering that field with the two of them out there. I mean, you can have that. This is what's gonna be really interesting is if they run a lot of options. You know, like if they get a lot of pre-snap movement and stuff, you know,
line of scrimmage.
Yeah. If they can get that down, I mean, boom. And then I like Chase Edmonds as a running back. I don't know about a bell cow workhorse.
I'm so confused. Who's the starter in that backfield? Because they signed, good God, three players.
Yeah, Edmonds. Sony Michel, Raheem Mostert, and Edmonds.
I think Mostert's out of it. It's between Michel and Edmonds to me.
I would say that it's probably going to be Michelle as the early downs back and Edmonds as more of
the pass catching
change of pace kind of thing. So that'll be, I mean, and here's the thing though about Mostert though, is that he has connections to the coach.
Yeah, that's why he came over.
So, you know, and he showed out when he was healthy. The thing is, he's a glass cannon. The man breaks down so easily. It's unfortunate. And then they have Gesicki at tight end.
He's underrated to me, really.
I think Gesicki is great. I feel like he's not that, I mean, skill-wise he is, but I think play style-wise, he's not really that far off from like a Mark Andrews. in their play styles. I mean, Mark Andrews is clearly better by every imaginable metric, but
yeah, no, definitely.
But I just think that their play style, they're both very aggressive. They'll both go up there and get the ball. Gesicki's definitely a tight end if you need one. He's probably going undrafted, and you know, you can always.
I think like if Tyreek and Jalen Waddle really spread like the field out, I think Gesicki has a chance to really up his game. Like if Tua's arm is really just, you know, a dud, he can just dump it off to Gesicki or whoever comes out of the backfield.
I don't think that it's necessarily going to be his arm. I mean, like we already kind of touched on, it's going to be the offensive line that's really going to make it hard for them to get things done. But the good thing is that he's got a lot of, like, Tyreek Hill can catch a 7-yard pass and take it to the house. You know, yeah. He doesn't have to throw that far from the line of scrimmage. He doesn't have to build a lot of time to let them shape up where he can throw to. I mean, between Gesicki, Waddle, and Tyreek Hill, that's a lot of people that can take short area targets and do something with them. So I think it's going to be a lot of like after the catch stuff with them. But Tua can also launch it. I mean, it's not like he's got a weak arm.
No,
yeah. He's just not super accurate.
No.
So
I think Hill and Waller are also like shifty as well as, you know, very fast.
Yeah, yeah, so. Definitely. Like they can, like, that's what I'm saying. Like they're going to make stuff happen after the catch for sure. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, this is super exciting for this team. They've been, you know, they've been in rebuild mode for a couple years now, tanking for Tua. That was a wild ride.
And, get rid of Tannehill.
Yeah, and then we watch Tannehill go to the Titans and actually do well. So
surprise, surprise.
Yeah, right.
No, but this defense is like the one that's really not getting talked about as much. I feel like they're like a sleeper.
Yeah, what?
Like Christian Wilkins is really good to me. Van Ginkel, pretty good. Agba from the Panthers, I think. He played for the Panthers, I know that. But
let's see. The PFF has them.
And their defensive backs are what stands out to me with Howard and Jones.
The Miami Dolphins, they have them as the 15th best defense. So, you know, right on the cusp of, you know, top half.
Should be a little bit.
I mean, I'm sure it's splitting hairs for a certain, yeah, you know, some of these. 12. Yeah. I mean, Xavien Howard, you know.
Xavien Howard, yeah. He's like, is he all pro? He's definitely pro bowl.
Yeah, definitely pro bowl. I don't know about all pro. And yeah, did they add Melvin Ingram?
Yeah, I think they did.
Oh, man. Yeah, that's nice. That's a nice defense. Definitely one that with the division that they play in,
I feel like they need that.
I think you could easily use them in the right matchups.
Oh yeah,
in fantasy. I mean, yeah, the Jets and the Patriots aren't going to put. I don't think the Patriots are going to put up that many points. So
no, I was thinking they need to have like a strong defense because the other strong defenses in the league, like the Patriots, yeah. Too, well, yeah, as well.
Sure. But yeah, their defense is definitely good. So. You know, the big thing that's going to hold them back is that offensive line. You know,
we'll see how that.
I think anytime team well-roundedness comes up, I always go back to, I don't understand why teams put so much money and emphasis and effort into building their weapons, but not strengthening their offensive line. Like, I really feel like if you have a good offensive line, your players can make things happen. You know, it's tough for everybody involved if you don't have the time to even set up a play before you got people screaming in your face, you know?
Yeah.
So, anything else to really throw down on the Dolphins?
No, I think they'll be a wild card team. We gotta see how that goes. I just don't know how many wins would you say they get? You say like 12, maybe?
we didn't, unlike the last one, I just realized, yeah, we didn't do the Vegas projections. Let's see. Vegas win loss NFL.
Oh, they're definitely like 10 for the Dolphins. Like,
yeah, you think so?
I would say, I guess we'll find out, yeah.
let's see. Miami Dolphins, 8.5.
Okay.
So I would take the over.
Over, that. For sure.
Yeah. Just to follow back, the New England Patriots, what do you think they were at?
Six.
8.5.
Well, Yeah. Under.
Yeah.
I would, under.
I don't know, man. Their defense, if they, you know, they could win with their defense, you know, take one back to the house kind of thing. And then the Jets. That one's a little 6. Bit tougher. 5? Ooh, 5.5.
Okay.
I think that's a pretty solid line.
Yeah, I don't know about that. That's a flip of the coin.
Right? Yeah, that's.
I'm gonna take the under just because the Jets.
Yeah, you don't think they win 5? I guess that's yeah, it's easy to not win 5. I mean, they'd still if they win 5.
God, it's like still way better than last year still as well.
Yeah. Anyway. Now we got the Bills. We're moving on to the Bills. What do you think their over under is?
Gotta be 12 or 11.5.
11.5.
Yeah.
Yeah, there you go. That one's tough. That one's also tough. I would probably take the over.
Over, yeah.
I mean, I think the.
I didn't say it, but over.
I mean.
Everyone's bandwagoning on the Bills.
Yeah. It's easy to jump on that when you have Josh Allen who's competing for arguably QB1. I mean,
MVP, obviously, yeah.
Yeah, that's tough. I mean, that's tough when you know you got him. You know what they brought in James Cook, but they have Devin Singletary ahead of him. Their weak spot is still the run game to me, even with what they've done behind it.
They brought in Jameson Crowder. I didn't know that. And Tavon Austin, the All Star.
Oh yay, Tavon Austin, man, that guy. Rams back in the day.
He was West Virginia All-Pro. He was the god on YouTube. YouTube god.
Mm. Yeah, Tavon Austin. Yeah, that man's going to be lighting that field on fire.
Oh, I didn't know they got O.J. Howard, too. That's crazy.
Yeah. They're pretty well-rounded all over. Except for running back. I don't know, man. Devin Singletary, he popped off last year.
Kinda.
He popped off last year and for the majority of it. I thought people were super excited about him. I think he was like a late year kind of boom, there we go kind of thing. But then they brought in James Cook to be our, we assume a pass catcher. So Devin Singletary, first, second down. James Cook, third down, running back.
I could see it going James Cook. First, second down, then Devin Singletary third down. I don't know. I've never really been a big Devin Singletary fan.
Same.
But
it's hard not to like a guy when he's on a team that's going to score as much as
Yeah, but like Josh Allen is taking all those touchdowns away, I'm pretty sure.
I think that they showed last year that they don't really want him to run as much. It's nice to have that ability, but like when you have somebody that ascends in his passing game the way that Josh Allen did, do you really want to risk him out on the field running like that all the time? I mean, he's a big man. He can definitely take it, but
yeah. Yeah, no, that's he's definitely injury prone as a quarterback. I would not really want to run him up and down the field and just use him as your primary running back. He's no like Lamar Jackson, no.
No, but I mean, he showed in his rookie year, he showed that he can be Lamar Jackson-esque in that. But then, like I said, he got so much better with his passing. Do you really want to
risk
losing him off of, an injury from running when, I think that's why they brought in James Cook, is that even if they don't really like what they're getting out of Devin Singletary, they can run through the air via their, pass catching running back kind of thing. And we'll see about Devin Singletary. I mean, I think I wouldn't be too surprised if he finished, I haven't done my projections for running backs, but I wouldn't be too surprised if he finished, top 15.
I'd say top 20.
There's so many running backs.
I get what you mean. Like split backfield.
Like if he gets the majority of the work, the man's going to be a top 15 running back.
Oh yeah, off rip, because there's so many split backfields in general.
I mean, that's just kind of the way that the game is shifting, which is unfortunate for fantasy, but it is what it is. Then in the wide receiver position, we got Stephon Diggs, old Gabriel Davis, and even older Jamison Crowder. So Stephon Diggs, man, he messed me up last year. He didn't do anything at the beginning of the year. I traded him away, and then he started doing stuff, which was very disappointing. But, I mean, I don't feel like he's as good as he was when he was in Minnesota.
Not even at all. I feel like Josh Allen is really just good at spraying the ball around.
Yeah.
And Gabriel Davis, I think this is his second year now, I think, I want to say.
Second or third.
And I think this is the year that he comes on the scene and really just breaks out.
He had some games last year too where he was really, you know,
the playoff games where he's three touchdowns, and it's just like, who is this guy?
Right, and he was balling out of control, and then but they also got rid of Beasley. Cole Beasley.
Cole Beasley's gone.
So they got rid of Cole Beasley. So, I mean, they brought in Jameson Crowder to basically replace him as the slot guy, but I still think that they're going to focus the majority of their targets, the go-to wide receiver, at least to
Diggs and Davis. Yeah.
Jameson Crowder, I mean, that's old and busted, right? I mean, do we really expect that much from him?
So is Beasley to me, but...
Yeah, I mean, but he could still get it. I mean, Beasley had some games last year, too. Oh, and the other one that's... not there anymore is Emmanuel Sanders.
That's right.
He was there last year.
I want to say you're right, yeah.
Yeah, he...
The man's ancient.
Yeah, but he had some good games at the beginning of the season. So, it was at the beginning of the season, it was all him. And then I think either he got injured or just kind of slowed down.
I think he got injured.
And then that's when Stephon Diggs started doing more.
Yeah, I would just stay away from Stephon Diggs in general.
I think he's going to be... The price for him is just going to be...
Oh, it's insane.
Way too high. Let's see.
He's up there with, Jamar Chase. I'm like, are you kidding?
ADP. Yeah, there's absolutely no way I would go for that price. He's the fifth wide receiver off the board.
Behind standard.
I just pulled up just his ADP, so I don't have the rest of them on here, but he's going number 12 overall.
I think he goes, Cup, J-Jeff, Jamar Chase, DeMonte, then
Stephon. You can't forget Debo.
Debo's behind.
Is he?
Stephon. No, yeah, Debo's definitely behind Stephon in ADP. I think that's just crazy.
Yeah, I would... For sure. Debo Samuel, it looks like he's going at the 207. I wish this was a full list.
I think Diggs is going like early round two.
It looks like in overall in standard, Debo's going one pick behind Diggs. He's going at 16.
Yeah, Diggs is still ahead of him.
And he's wide receiver 6 in standard and PPR and half. So yeah, that's Diggs is crazy. That is pretty crazy. I would much rather have Debo, just kind of a more all around well rounded wide receiver. Yeah. And he also finished ahead of Diggs last year.
Yeah.
So what are we – how does that happen kind of thing? I think people are just buying into, the name. Because he's been good. I mean, it's not like he's terrible, but it just don't – you think he's going to finish 6th overall or 5th overall? That's way too high for me. I'm not taking him at that price. Other people can have that grenade on their team. But I am excited for Gabe Davis. And obviously Dawson Knox, I mean, he really blew up last year. So
I mean, Josh Allen loves him some Dawson Knox last year.
Josh Allen likes his tight ends in general. But surprisingly enough, the Bills are actually their offensive line is ranked 20th. I was kind of surprised by that.
They don't really have any big names, I don't think, on the offensive line. I mean, I don't see any names that I really recognize. I think I recognize Mitch Moore, so I think that's about it.
Deion Dawkins, I recognize that name.
Oh, yeah, that one too.
That's pretty much it.
Josh Allen was rolling out of the pocket a lot last year.
Yeah, but that's a good thing about him is that he can scramble and make things happen with his legs. That's between that and the running back position. It's going to, once again, fall on Josh Allen, which is going to lead to a lot of fantasy points for him, which is why he's pretty much a consensus QB, the consensus QB1. I mean, it's tough to argue anything against that. Dawson Knox, good late round tight end if you kick it all the way down and don't want to rely on somebody that goes undrafted kind of thing. I would leave Jameson Crowder, obviously, undrafted. I don't think he's going to do anything. Yeah, so you got any other thoughts on the Bills? Division leaders?
Division leaders, I'd say. Their defense isn't looking too bad. Obviously, they got Von Miller.
Yeah, that's a big one. You know, I saw something that I guess he came out and said that he would have gone to the Cowboys if they had paid him. If they had matching offers between the Bills and the Cowboys, he would have preferred to go to the Cowboys.
He just flat out said that?
Yeah.
Wow, that's bold. Yeah. I mean, you got to know your worth there.
I mean, I don't know the specifics of the deal that he got, the amount of money he got, but I mean, I'm sure. I mean, obviously that's a given, but if I was him, I'd rather play on the Cowboys too. Their defense is already a monster.
Yeah.
I mean,
this Bills defense is really nice too.
But, yeah. I don't think it's not as good as Cowboys though.
I don't know. They got Kier Elam, the guy they just drafted. Micah Hyde was good. They got Tre'Davious White. I think it was
Tre'Davious White, yeah.
Tremaine Edmonds was deadly good, too.
Yeah.
Shaq Lawson and Oliver, too.
Shaq Lawson. That's good.
Two first-round guys, like, right there. I think their defense is not bad.
Oh, I mean, I'm not saying that it's bad. I just would, you know, the Cowboys are more ball-hawking out of the back. Yeah. Well, with everybody. I mean, Van Der Esch is also pretty intense. I just think that... And I think even just based on what he said, you know,
I feel like he likes the city of Dallas probably more too.
Yeah, it's probably. Yeah.
You mean, we'll play for Jerry Jones. Who what? No,
I don't know if Jerry Jones. Anyway, you got anything else to say about the Bills?
I think a lot of people think they're going to win the Super Bowl. I think they're favorites to win the Super Bowl for sure, ahead of the Chiefs.
I could see that. The Chiefs are definitely slid a little bit with, you know, their off-season stuff this year. So, yeah, I mean, I could definitely see that, you know. It's going to be – you said you think it's going to be them and the Bucks?
Oh, no, I'm saying, like, fan favorites, like, win the Super Bowl.
Oh, okay.
If you're betting on, like, the beginning of the season, who's going to win the Super Bowl?
Well, I mean, it could possibly be the Bills versus the Bucks.
Yeah, see
right
there.
Right.
No, so, but I don't know.
Who knows? Yeah, I could see. I could definitely see them pushing. I mean, unless they run into, I don't know, man. The problem for them is that a lot of the AFC West is super loaded this year. So like when they make it to those playoffs and stuff. That's gonna be some rough sledding. Like I think I would go with the Broncos and the Chargers over.
I was gonna say the Chargers.
The Chargers for sure. I mean their defense is great. Well, I mean we'll talk about that division another time. But I think the Chargers for me. If I had to put money on the AFC champions, I'd probably put my money on the Chargers.
I don't know, strength schedule. I think these guys might have like the only bye, and then.
Yeah. I mean that's true too. They play in a softer division. So, you know, it's a little bit easier for them to get on in there. So, anyway, that was our AFC East breakdown. We went over the Jets, the Patriots, the Dolphins, and the Bills. You got anything else to say before we get out of here?
Nothing much.
Yeah.
Fantasy football friends, we got to hang tight.
Yeah, we'll be back again soon, probably with another divisional breakdown. I also should have some other hosts on for some more episodes later this week, so I look forward to talking to you guys then. Just like at the top of the show, just so you know, if you want to get at us, send us an email. You got the ffbfriends@gmail.com. You can get at us at Twitter, @ffbfriends. Please don't forget to... subscribe to our show wherever you're listening to it. Hit that subscribe. Hit that like. Leave us a rating. Let us know how you feel about things. Tell your friends. We appreciate all that groundwork that you guys are putting in for us. And we appreciate you tuning in. Thanks, guys, for getting us to that 200 downloads. Here's to the next 200 and 200 after that. Until we keep on climbing, man. All right. Well, it was good talking to you, Will. We'll have you on soon again. And later, friends.
See ya.
see through our lens. We don't follow the trends. Paper on way, see where we stay. It's top of the leaderboard. About time we score. Pay attention, can't ignore these fantasy football friends. See through our lens. We don't follow the trends. Paper on way, see where we stay. It's top of the leaderboard. About time we scored. Pay attention, can't ignore these fantasy football friends.